It's lesson seven, praying together. It's the most difficult thing Marilyn and I have done spiritually ever. Yet, once you do it, wow, it's worth it.
That's right. I think consistency is the hardest thing, is to do it every day, to make an appointment with the Lord and to keep it every day, no matter what happens, interruptions, things you had planned on, just make that appointment and keep it.
Amen.
The Power of Spiritual Intimacy, Part 1.
In this session, we're going to share about the power of spiritual intimacy, praying together. This class is the one that holds everything together.
But before we start, I have something I'd really like to read to you just to see if any of this would speak to you about the need for prayer. Dear Lord, so far today we're doing really great. We haven't gossiped, we haven't lost our tempers, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. We haven't even whined or complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. We haven't charged anything on our credit cards. But we're going to be getting out of bed in just a minute, and I think we're really going to need your help then. And that's exactly the truth. That is true. We can't start the day. We can't do anything without God. And so the depth of our need to have prayer and spend time with Him is vital, let alone doing and learning how to do that together as a couple.
And the emphasis on praying is together. The thing that we have seen over the years is that husbands will have their own prayer life and the wives will have their own prayer life. And we're not saying that's wrong. Absolutely not. You definitely need your own prayer life. But as a couple, you need to have couple time together here. Praying together brings change. Praying together brings miracles. Think about it. The very first miracle was at a wedding to meet the needs of a married couple. Remember, He turned the water into wine for a couple. So the only way that we can truly experience the spiritual intimacy as God intends is to submit ourselves to the guidance, direction of the Holy Spirit by praying together. And again, remember when I talk about intimacy, break that down into syllables in the English, into me see. Into me see, Lord, and into us see.
After we get married, according to God's plan, then we bond physically. But lots of times we forget that the Lord wants us to bond spiritually too. It's essential for a healthy marriage. We've met a lot of couples over the years that go to church and are in prayer groups or in Bible studies, and they pray with other people, but they don't pray together as a couple. What we found over the years is usually one of the spouses is hungry for that and is desiring it, but doesn't know how to initiate it, doesn't know how to get the other spouse to be interested. And we can get so used to praying with other people and forget our most intimate partner here. So it takes dedication and practice and consistency if we're gonna have a vibrant one flesh prayer life. We can get dedicated to our jobs and we can commit and never miss our favorite football team play. If we bring that to how we view praying together, we'd have an amazing time of prayer together. To David and I now, it's just kind of like breathing oxygen. We just do it automatically. We have our own prayer time and intimacy with the Lord all the time. We have our prayer time together, but we pray on the phone. We pray in the car. We pray whenever the need arises, wherever we happen to be, because the Lord is always there with us and always desiring to have us lift up anything that we need to Him or come into communion with Him. So don't think it has to be only done this way in this special time, because God's always with us.
The most intimate thing a married couple can do is pray together.
What are some reasons for us to pray together as a couple?
Okay.
So many people seek out somebody that they can pray with. Before David and I started walking with the Lord together many years ago, like 30 years ago, I had a lady that I was very close to, and we prayed consistently together. But our spouse is supposed to be our most intimate prayer partner, our most intimate. In Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst." So when we sit down to pray together, Jesus is right there. He is right here with us. and he's attentive and listening. And so our spouse is supposed to be closer to us than anyone on earth. So we need to decide as a couple to pray together regularly. And, you know, like I said, everybody's busy. You know, we could see that in the visual aid there. We have to fight for our prayer time. Sometimes I can get into tasks and I've got a million things to do and I've got to get all of those things done. And then there's the next thing to get done. But that's a battle strategy from the enemy. And so we all need a battle strategy too, to fight that to be victorious, which was what we were showing you.
Have you prayed together? Do you pray together frequently, or is it a challenge for you? Take a few minutes and discuss how what you just learned might make a difference. The Power of Spiritual Intimacy, Part 2.
So we need to agree with God's will and see it come to pass on the earth. When David came into relationship with the Lord, I had been walking with the Lord for about 10 years at that point, and when I had stood for our marriage all that time, like I said, I am so grateful to God. It was such an amazing time in my life. I got to hear God's voice. I got so close to Him. And I had such an intimate relationship with the Lord that when David came into relationship with the Lord, when we came and took this course for the first time, and I found out that we were supposed to pray together, this sounds funny, since he was the new Christian, I was more hesitant than he was. So I went to the Lord and I said, well, Lord, how does this work? How do I do this? And the Lord said to me, you go to bed with this man and you can't pray with him? And that really spoke to me. And I thought, how important is spiritual intimacy and the power of a husband and wife praying together? How powerful is that intimacy if the enemy would fight it that much? And so I said, that's it. I'm not playing that game anymore. And we really dove in headfirst to receive all God had for us in praying together.
When we decide to pray together as husband and wife, the enemy will provide never-ending excuses and interruptions.
There's power in spiritual warfare, and it increases exponentially. You probably heard this one before, but let me read it to you. Leviticus 26:8. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. We have authority in Jesus' name to tear down strongholds. And believe me, the enemy knows how powerful it is when one flesh comes together in prayer. This is about 15 years ago or so. 1 in 2 divorce, if God isn't in their marriage. 1 in 50 divorce if they believe and go to church fairly regular. 1 in 1,105 if they have a relationship with the Lord and an active prayer life together. There is power when the two come together in prayer. Now let me tell you one thing that the Lord showed us. When we started praying together, I got to keep my eyes open. Because what we see come in there, and I call it this, we call it the slumbering spirit. And I've observed this all around in different prayer groups. You walk in, and if you're in church some Sunday, just pay attention. When they go to pray, all of a sudden you'll see people yawning. It's an automatic. They start yawning right there. And we call that the slumbering spirit. Once you recognize it, you can fight it real easy. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about guidelines for praying together. But let me share a little story first. I messed up one time. We had a couple with us, and we went over, we were training them, and we went over to their house to spend time with them in prayer. And I got there, and the husband kind of approached me. He says, you know, Dave, this praying together thing is just not working for us. And it had to be the Holy Spirit, because I said, well, why don't you show me what you're doing here? And so he said, okay, follow me. And so he and his wife went into the bedroom. He went on one side of the bed, and she went on the other side of the bed. They both got on their knees. They put their hands on the bed, and they were real quiet for a couple minutes. And then all of a sudden, he said, amen. And she said, amen. And he says, see what I mean? It's just not working for us. And I started to laugh. I said, oh, goodness sakes, I should have explained that a little better to you. So hopefully we can get that across to you here.
This should be an intimate time, really personal time between you and your spouse and God. That's what it's supposed to be. And so it's not a time to criticize your spouse. It's not a time to criticize how they pray, how long they pray, how short they pray. Was that scripture they prayed exactly accurate? When we first started praying together, it was like, you know, I could pray for hours and David would say two sentences and he was done, you know? And I go, what do you mean? You don't have anything more to say to that than that? And then we could end up harming our prayer time and the intimacy that God was wanting to build because, well, I thought he should pray like me. And he's like, well, I don't see why we have to pray for that long. And so we had to learn what it was like to come together in our own prayer time and honor each other and not criticize how we pray. If you're going around constantly correcting your spouse when you're praying together, they're not going to want to pray with you anymore. They're not going to want to. It's a time for us to grow and come into this together. And if you're guilty of doing that, if you've done it, just repent. Like David has said in other lessons, when we find that we've fallen short of what God wants, he is so merciful and wonderful. We can just go and repent. We can repent to our spouse and say, okay, let's start over. In James 5:16, it says, the prayers of a righteous man are very powerful. I've pondered that verse a lot over the years. It's not because we're so righteous. It's the righteousness that we have in Jesus because we are in relationship with God through our covenant with Jesus. And that means they're powerful. That means when we pray in agreement with God's word, in agreement with his will, when we listen to his heart and we come and pray together, and there's power in the prayers that we pray to see God's will come to pass on the earth. And think of the power when the two are doing it together. And so listen to what your spouse is praying. Listen to them. Pay attention. It'll give you more intimate understanding of their walk with the Lord. And you'll get to hear their heart. You'll get to hear what their concerns and needs are. But we can't try and make the other one pray like we pray because we're both unique. And God's given us both unique gifts and unique ways of looking at things. It's a matter of blending them. Every woman I've ever met who prays with her husband talks about feeling closer to him since they started praying together. And I know for me, when I see David praying and in the Word, and when we're praying together and he's talking to the Lord, it makes him very attractive to me. And I feel closer to him in all ways, emotionally and physically. That's why it's so intimate to pray together. It's a special gift from God. We have intimacy then as a couple, spirit, soul, and body.
Are there some things you may have to do differently to have an active prayer life together? Discuss what you are thinking. The Power of Spiritual Intimacy, Part 3.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. So there is a time that we need to pray in the Spirit, which would be your prayer language when you're praying in tongues, and a time to pray with understanding. Praying with understanding is a little bit more difficult because you can have a tendency to manipulate or correct at times. If I just get home from work and the first thing she's talking about is we need prayer time together and I just walked in the door, and if I sit down, I can have a tendency to be a little grumpy. And when I'm a little grumpy, I find that my prayers can be a little manipulative. And I need to work through that and get that cleaned up right away. Another aspect of it is what I think is good prayer time and what she thinks is good prayer time as far as length can cause some issues at times, right?
I really want anybody to hear that may be struggling with this. God wants us to have that intimacy together, and we do. We have powerful, powerful prayer time together. Mm-hmm. But then I can spend a lot of time by myself in intercession, praying about the things that God has laid on my heart to pray. As that does not hinder the closeness we have then coming together as a couple.
Yeah, that's a good point. When we come together in prayer, it's things that affect both of us as one flesh, you know, our family, our children, the ministry,
jobs, health.
We have elderly parents that yeah. we keep in prayer, you know. So it's important that the things that we have in common, that we use that in our prayer time together. We enter His presence with praise and worship. Mm-hmm. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter His gate with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We'll just start praising Him, you know, say, thank you, Lord. Glory to you. You are mighty, Father. Amen. I love you, Lord. You are powerful above all. We thank you, Lord. Praising Him and thanking Him and worshiping Him.
And it's like prayer just comes.
Prayer just flows out of the praise. It's Amen. Just amazing.
And I want to read the scripture. Actually, I'm going to just share it with you from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That was the first scripture I ever memorized because, like I said, I grew up with a lot of fear. And when I started really getting into God's Word all those many years ago, I came to that scripture and it said, have no anxiety at all. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I looked at that and I knew God's word was truth. I knew it was. And I said, God, that's amazing. You said have none at all, but come and pray. Send your petitions before God. I thank Him in advance before He ever answers them. And then the peace that surpasses all understanding is going to stand guard over me in Christ Jesus. And it helped change our prayer life together because I wasn't focusing on all the circumstances all the time when we prayed in anxiety. I was focused on God and who He was and what He was going to do. And it helped build my prayer life and faith in Him, but ours together. We've kept journals at times, and we can look back and say, look what God did. Remember that? Look when He did that. Pray the Word. Pray the Word. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it tells us that if we agree with God about anything that we are to pray for, we will see that come to pass on earth. The Bible is all God's Word. Every bit of it is His Word. There's so many powerful, powerful verses that we can pray when we have needs or ones we want to agree with the Lord over and pray for in faith and see His miracles. That way we know we're agreeing with Him. And we're not just letting our flesh come in and say, well, I want this, I want that. Isaiah 55, 11 says this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Discuss the content and length of your prayer time together so that you will both enjoy praying together.
I remember one time we were praying and we had turned to a certain scripture in Psalms and it started out, my child, and I was going to read the whole Psalm. And God said, no, stop there. I want you both to sit here and pray and listen to my heart and realize what it is to be my child. That was an absolutely amazing time with the Lord. It didn't have to be five verses. But listen to what He's doing at the time that He's doing it. Prayer is a dialogue with God. It's not a monologue. We're not just, well, God, do this, God, do that. But He also wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us, too. Yeah. But why don't we take a few moments right now and just give you some time to sit there and open your heart to allowing God this deep, wonderful place of intimacy together as a couple. And so we're going to give you a few moments to have a time to pray together and pray God's blessing over each other in your marriage.
Take time now to pray for each other and ask God to bless each other in your marriage. Listen to what God wants to speak to you.
The Word also tells us to pray in the Spirit, our prayer language. For us, it's an amazing time together. We've talked to many people and said, well, do you guys pray in the Spirit together? Do you have your prayer language and you pray together? And amazing how many people don't. But they say, well, you can't understand anything. Well, you know, you get 300 people in an airplane, watch it run down the strip and take off in the air. I don't quite understand how that happens either. I am amazed at some of the things out here in technology.
But it doesn't stop us from using them.
No, absolutely not. Believe me, it as a husband and wife, it is a powerful thing. Now, agreed, Sherry, I'm just amazed how she prays the Word. It just blesses my heart to hear you when we're together and you pray in the, pray the word. But when we come together and we start praying in our prayer language together, I jump ahead on that one, I'll have to say. You know, I really enjoy that time because, you know, as you're praying in the Spirit, God will just give you visions. He'll show you things.
We're going to give you a scriptural study of the basis for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Make sure you have your Bible handy because we're going to be doing some interactive work during this segment.
Before his ascension into heaven, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1, 4, and 5. Those to whom Jesus was speaking had been born again when he came to them after his death and resurrection, John 20, 22. It was obvious from what Jesus was telling them in the first chapter of Acts, though, that there was another, separate experience available to them. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised them that they would receive power and become his witnesses to the ends of the earth. All of those who gathered to hear Jesus loved him very much and had chosen to follow him, but they lacked courage and boldness. All of them had deserted him when he was crucified, with the exception of John and the women. Peter had even denied knowing him. They obviously needed the power that it would take to live out their commitment to him.
In Acts chapter 2, all of the disciples were gathered in one place. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were filled with power. The first outward manifestation of this infilling was that they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them in Acts 2:4. These tongues were understood by people from all nations who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. This speaking all together in tongues gave the disciples tremendous unity and power, such as they had not seen on the earth since God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, 6 through 9. When we speak as one and have one heart and one purpose, there is power. Speaking in tongues provided for them and for us that unity they had not previously had. It enabled them and now us to come together with believers from all over the world, speaking different natural languages, but speaking together in the Spirit.
The second manifestation of the baptism was the boldness with which the disciples began to proclaim the gospel. These same people who had previously been so afraid and timid were now drawing large crowds with their preaching. They were suddenly not concerned with what the crowds thought of them or if they were in danger. They had received the power necessary to live the Christian life.
Be assured that Satan knows the power of this experience. He has done much down through the ages to discredit it. In some churches, he has even convinced them to give him the credit for the outward manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues in particular. He has gotten many people to overlook the experience and to even scoff at it, much to their loss. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are very limited in what we can accomplish. We are not plugged in to the vital source of supernatural power that the Holy Spirit offers.
The baptism, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, was not a one-time experience in the history of the church. Throughout the book of Acts, the same experience with the same manifestations occurred over and over again. Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. The first century church moved in the Spirit in a way that we often covet. Yet this same measure of power and authority is available to the church today if we would only receive it. If the body of Christ were united today in the Holy Spirit power in which the first century church moved, we would see victory and glory that we only dream of now. We can, however, begin in our home. In each of our lives, this power is available, the same way it was available to each disciple on the day of Pentecost. We only need to reach out and take it.
In Luke 11, 11 through 13, Jesus tells us that if we who are earthly know how to give our children good things, how much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We know then that we must ask to receive. James tells us that we have not because we ask not, James 4:2. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to anyone who has asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. We need to only ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He baptizes us. We can ask Him all by ourselves, or we can ask the Spirit-filled Christians to lay hands on us and pray with us. Acts 8:17, Acts 19:6. Know that when we ask, we receive it. Take that promise and receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you.
In this next section, we are going to explain the difference between the gift of tongues and your prayer language. As Dave and Sherry read each passage, open your Bible to that passage and write next to it whether it is the gift or your prayer language. If it is the gift of tongues, write a G next to that passage. If it is your prayer language, write PL next to that passage. Now let's begin.
The tongues that we receive with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is our own prayer language, not the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, is what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 5, 13, 22, and 23. Scripture tells us that this gift must function in conjunction with the gift of interpretation to supernaturally deliver a word from God to the hearers. 1 Corinthians 14, 27, and 28. The other language of tongues is what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, verses 14, 15, 18, and 19. This is your own personal prayer language, which does not require interpretation. Romans 8, 26, and 27. If you do not understand the difference, please continue to study the scriptures and or ask your leaders for help.
So be open for every gift God has for you. If tongues do not manifest readily when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't decide that God does not want you to have that gift. Instead, ask the Lord what is blocking your gift. It may be simply an intellectual argument or just embarrassment. It may, however, be something more serious, such as previous involvement in occultic activities. And we're talking about things like horoscope, Ouija boards, automatic writing. When tongues do not manifest, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment regarding the blockage.
We need, however, to be cautious that we remain in the Spirit in our attempts to receive and not enter into fleshly activities. Tongues do not have to be forced. If they're being blocked, we need only discern the blockage and remove it. They will then readily flow. We do not have to repeat after someone else or move our heads or tongues a certain way. Just surrender your tongue to Him to speak through you, and He will do it.
That does not mean that you don't make a sound and that God will supernaturally take over your speech. Very often, you'll become aware of the words that are unfamiliar to you, and you will tell yourself that they are nonsense. Take a step in faith. Speak them out. Once you have been obedient and surrendering your tongue, the Holy Spirit will begin supplying you with a whole new beautiful language. Begin using that language to praise God and to tell Him of your love for Him. As you use your language daily, you'll begin to see it increase. That increase and frequent usage will bring you to Paul's desire to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Ephesians 6, verse 18.
Tongues are not the only gift or even the most important gift that God has for you. We emphasize it here because your prayer language is such a vital part of an active prayer life. There are so many times when we do not know how to pray or when our own opinion is clouding our ability to hear freely from God. We need the Holy Spirit to pray a powerful prayer through us, a prayer that is God's perfect will for the situation. Our body has a voice and our spirit has one as well. Praying in the Spirit allows our spirit to freely speak what God is saying.
This is all you got to do. I said, Lord Jesus, I want all that you have for me. I want to surrender all to you. Please baptize me in the Spirit right now. I receive it. Thank you. So I prayed that prayer in faith, and I'm waiting. I'm looking around, and I'm not feeling it, you know. And so I just kept waiting, and I walked in faith, and got with some other people and started sharing the story, and they say, well, let's just pray in the Spirit. And they started praying with me, and sure enough, I got my prayer language, and it's an amazing thing. I really enjoy praying in the Spirit.
So it's been probably almost, you know, I'm right at 40 years ago that I really came into relationship with God through asking Jesus into my heart as Lord and Savior. But it was about 6 years, 5 or 6 years later before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had a lady, like I said earlier, that we had gotten to be prayer partners. We prayed together a lot. And one day she explained it to me and I said, what's that? I've never heard of it. And so she led me through the scriptures and shared a lot of scriptures with me. And I thought, this is all brand new to me. I've never heard of this when I was in church growing up, but I knew in my heart I wanted everything that God had. And so I went home and I studied the scriptures, and it was so clear. It was a while later, I was with a couple of ladies and we were praying. They were both praying in the Spirit. And because I had told God, I really want this, I want everything you've got, I just opened my mouth and I started praying in the Spirit. It was just absolutely one and wonderful. I was out walking the next morning after that happened, and I just stood there for a few minutes and stopped at one moment with my mouth kind of open, taking a deep breath. It was, everything had changed. The sky was bluer. The trees were greener. Flowers were just the most gorgeous color I'd ever seen. It was like God's creation just had come alive in a different way, and I felt like we were all praising Him together.
When we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, we receive power to fully live our life in Him.
We had a couple, we were training them, and they were staying at our house because they were from out of town, and he wanted his prayer language. Sherry and I had our prayer language, and his wife had her prayer language, but he didn't. So I said, we're just gonna start praying in the Spirit, and you just start praising God. We all three prayed in the Spirit, and he just started praising God, thanking God, giving God glory, and all of a sudden, he started getting his prayer language. And so we all sat there and just prayed in the Spirit together, and all of a sudden, God wrote a word inside of my head, and I could see it. You know, it goes right across here. It's pretty amazing. And he wrote this word, and I had no idea what it was. The word was synovial. Never heard of that word in my life. I went upstairs, as a matter of fact. I said, I'll be right back. I went up and got the dictionary, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and it was a medical term. And I came back downstairs, and I told them what the word was, and they all looked at me like a deer in the headlight type of look, you know. And I said, well, let me read the definition for you. And as I read the definition, the wife of the couple that was with us, her mouth just dropped open. From that came some great
inner healing
that came. It was just, oh, it was powerful, because we're obedient to listen to the Lord.
We were praying in the Holy Spirit.
And I can guarantee you, I had no idea about that word in my life, but it was from God. It's important then that we submit this unruly member, the tongue. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. No, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Praying in the Spirit brings his will to pass in the earth.
Amen. I remember one night we were feeling really attacked, not in our one flesh. Both of us just felt like agitated and like something wasn't right, and we didn't know what it was. And we went to bed and we couldn't seem to go to sleep. And so finally David said, let's take authority over anything the enemy is doing, ask God for his protection, and just pray in the Spirit, since we don't know what's happening. We prayed in the Spirit for a long time. We felt God's peace come. We felt peace come, and then we went to sleep. Our kids don't live in the same state. And the very next day, literally within 10 minutes, each of them had called us and said, boy, I don't know what was going on last night, but I really felt sick. I really felt like something wasn't right and I was sick. And then all of a sudden it went away and I was fine. That's the power of what God can do when we come together in agreement and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, because we didn't even know what was going on, but God did. And God answered our prayers. We need to make an appointment with God and with each other, and we need to keep it. So even if you're hurting too much to maybe pray together in your native language, just sit down and pray together in the Spirit. So we can go through trials, we can go through things in our life that we have to deal with, but we know the power of God is always there with us to guide us and direct us so that we can hear His voice and we can agree with Him.
If you're not praying together as a couple, like we said in the very beginning, it's the mortar that holds everything together. So get with the program. You know, the enemy will rob your time. You know, you'll sit down to pray, the phone will ring, somebody will knock at the door. You know, a million things can happen. And you can think of a million reasons not to pray, but sit down and pray. And you will be blessed.
And how things fall into place.
Yeah, everything falls together when you sit down together in prayer.
Dear Father, how amazing that you not only hear our prayers, but desire fellowship with us. You want to hear our needs.
You want to speak into our lives to guide us and answer the cries of our hearts. Help us to move past any embarrassment and share deeply together with you.
Thank you for meeting us where we are. Bless us to grow.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Agreement, Part 1.